Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Wednesday afternoon to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. On behalf of Sam Rohr and David Kistler, I am Gary Dahl, and we are delighted to have you with us wherever you might be across this state, this nation, and around the world. And, I've got to say that the other day, Sam and Dave, we were referred to as the Three Musketeers. And I suppose that really is that's a compliment. But, we might be referred to today as the Three Sleepy Eyes, because we did some traveling yesterday in the last 24 hours between this program and yesterday's program. We went to Washington, D.C. and straightened everything up and got home and took a nap, and here we are again. Sam, what do you think? Sam doesn't think. Dave,
he's
what
asleep.
Do you think?
Well, no, he's asleep, Gary.
See, There you go. I handed it to you on a silver platter, and you got it. But you were partially true, Gary. We were at D.C. We
yes.
did arrive back home in our various locations very, very early this morning.
Yes.
But straightening out Washington, that's a stretch.
Well, we tried. I mean, we started. And you're still contemplating it, aren't you?
If they would just listen to us, gentlemen, we had the solutions if they would just listen.
Now, that's true, Dave. That's true.
So we are cutting it straight, you see. It's just up to them to listen, correct?
There you go.
Well, you know, that's always the way it is. You can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make them drink. I think we could probably think of a lot of things like that that would apply, but it's true. It's true.
Why don't you share just a little bit, Dave, about why we were in D.C. last night?
Well, Gary, I will. It has to do with the National Bible Reading Marathon. It's an event that runs in conjunction with the National Day of Prayer, and we were meeting with some of the leaders that have been the head of the Bible Reading Marathon for the last 25, going on 26 years. And it looks as if both our ministry, Hope Ministries International, and the American Pastors Network may, in the days ahead, play a much more involved role in that Bible Reading Marathon, which to me, man, is beyond exciting. You know, 90 hours where the scriptures are read nonstop from Sunday evening until Thursday of the National Day of Prayer. That is the Sunday prior to the Thursday the National Day of Prayer occurs in D.C. The scriptures are read nonstop, and there's no commentary on the scriptures. There's no preaching. It's just nonstop reading of the scriptures. And, of course, part of our evening last night was just a wonderful time of listening to some of the remarkable things that God has done down through the last 25 years in people's lives just from hearing the scriptures read. And so this is an exciting thing, and it was well worth the 6.5 hours I drove up and then for about a 3.5 hour meeting and then 6.5 hours back. Gentlemen, honestly, it was well worth it, and I came back physically tired but spiritually rejuvenated.
Well, you know, it's something that this nation needs. And, Sam, you know, we've got to get out the Word of God. The Word of God makes a difference. And, you know, last night we were talking about the fact that this is a footprint in Washington, D.C., on Capitol Hill, that's been there for 25 years, that if something would happen that would cause that footprint to be removed, we really do not know just exactly what might happen, because by virtue of the fact that the Word of God is there, God will use that to put his hand of protection around Washington and around the nation.
Well, I think it's exactly correct, and folks need to know that this event precedes, it's been 26 years now, it precedes the National Day of Prayer, and it seems to be a logical and foundational element for preceding that recognized national event, which obviously is something that has a lot of commentary. It's a much different thing, but this focuses just purely on the reading of God's Word, the entire Bible, 90 hours worth, which is an amazing thing. And the stories that were being shared there about Christian people from around the world people from mainland China, from Africa, from other countries who come and pray, who will ask to read and be a part of it and stand there, and they weep and they cry because they say in their country they could never, ever imagine having the possibility to do such a thing. You know, the importance of the Word of God in our nation goes to the very foundation. It is a root upon which all is built, and the efforts of those who have been trying to eviscerate it, to eliminate it, to remove God, remove the Bible from our culture, is really an attack. And the fact that this goes on, as you say, Gary, I think it actually produces an element of salt there to help preserve in the seat of authority. I think it plays a much bigger role that anybody knows, and most people don't even know it's happening. But it's significant, and it really was very encouraging, and I look forward to being a greater part of that, Lord willing, here in the years ahead.
Well, I know that I've been involved with it several times down through the years. Dave, of course, you've been involved with it down through the years, and it is very effective. And some of the stories that we heard last night as to how God has used it is tremendous. But, you know, I go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, that tells us that the Word of God works effectually in the lives of those who believe it. And Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 reminds us that the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it does make its impact. The more the Word of God is read, fellas, I believe the more of God's blessing we will see on our nation. And I say that based upon Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, where it tells us that even when the Word of God is just read and heard, it brings a blessing. So with all of these folks in this nation, the liberals and the progressives and, you know, even the liberal Christians saying that we shouldn't have the Word of God here and we shouldn't have the Word of God there, Dave, I think that we need to, throttle down just a little bit more and do more to read the Word of God, not only from the west steps of the United States Capitol, but in county seats and in municipal buildings and city halls and our churches and things like that. It would have an effect upon our nation, don't you think?
Well, Gary, it would have a profound effect. And the old statement, you know, what you don't lose, you lose. What you don't use, you lose. And there's truth to that. You know, if we don't exercise our religious liberty, then we lose that forever. And once it's lost, it's generally never reclaimed. But what's exciting to me is the powerful effect that you referenced in Revelation chapter 1, the blessing that comes upon the reading and the hearing of God's word, and to have that take place on the West Plaza of the Capitol, which is the most photographed side of Capitol Hill. It's the site, literally the pulpit where the scriptures are read, are placed right on the spot where every president since Dwight D. Eisenhower has been inaugurated. And there is something that comes over you when you step behind that pulpit and you begin reading the Word of God. I mean, there is a power and authority that comes over you because it's God's word and God's authority and His Holy Spirit's unction and power that comes over you. You can feel it. You can sense it. And I would encourage our listeners, stay tuned. We're going to be talking more about this in the days ahead. And if you'd like to come and share with us a year from now at the next National Day of Prayer, we'd love to have you come and be a part of it.
Yeah, that's the first week of May, I think it goes up.
It's the first Thursday of May, Gary, is the National Day of Prayer, but it's the Sunday prior to that first Thursday when the Bible reading starts.
Right. And so we'll be talking more about that as time goes on, ladies and gentlemen. We have a lot to talk about today, so don't you go away. We will be back with more right after these messages. This is Stand in the Gap today from the American Pastors Network.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor's not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow. In Job chapter 1, we're told about a man of great integrity whose name was Job. Consistent in his walk before God, God proclaimed him perfect. Honorable in his life before others, his friends proclaimed him upright. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking, are you like Job? God trusted him so strongly that he challenged the devil to buffet him, even in times of enormous testing when his children were killed, possessions stolen, friends proved themselves unfriendly, and a discouraging wife told him to curse God and die. Job's faith didn't waver. In fact, because his heart was right with God, he could say with full confidence in the face of terrible calamity, naked came I into the world, and naked will I go out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the end, God healed Job, restored twice what he had lost, but only after Job prayed for his friends and thanked God for his trials. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking, can God trust you like he did Job? Will you respond like Job?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
Remember how Jesus was rejected by many? And in fact, was probably despised because he came from that, well, that good-for-nothing town of Nazareth? You know, I've often heard people say that they will certainly give to certain things, but they're not quite ready to give to those areas that, in their opinion, are good-for-nothing. As we think about our stewardship, we need to let God decide in our hearts what is good for the kingdom. Our job is to see that the gospel gets proclaimed regardless of where it might be going.
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. Yesterday, if you were there by the radio, you know we had Jeff Mateer on from the Liberty Institute, and of course we were talking about what's going on down at the Supreme Court relative to their discussion decisions on same-sex marriage. And once again, I do want to encourage every pastor out there to speak on the subject of biblical marriage and do what you can to lead your congregation in prayer for the United States Supreme Court. Because, Sam, it could very well be that some of the justices have not yet made a decision on what they are, what side of this issue they're going to come down upon. And even if they have, if we pray, God could change their mind. And I think that's a very serious issue before us right now, don't you?
Well, I do. And I think, you know, whereas Jeff Mattier yesterday gave us, I think, a great, great summary of the actual issues before the court, and he laid out what he thought may be the case. He suggested a 5-4 decision, and that perhaps Judge Roberts would be on the conservative side and Justice Kennedy would play the pivotal role and that kind of thing. And he laid out his scenarios. We recently learned, Dave Kistler just learned of another possible option, which when we were talking about it last night, I think Dave ought to share it here now, was extremely plausible. And I think it's something worth considering at this point. And again, obviously, it is a conjecture on the part of constitutional attorneys and others that are watching this issue. But as we said yesterday, the court is really more governed by pragmatics and political correctness than they are by moral truth, certainly, or even constitutional constraint. So these different scenarios that are being laid out here, I think, are significant. And I know, Dave, you ought to share this one yesterday because I think it's very, very plausible.
Well, Sam, I appreciate that. Yes, and this suggestion comes from our good friend Rob Schenck at Faith and Action in the Nation's Capital, a ministry that has primarily focused on the members of the Supreme Court and those that work in the Supreme Court building. And what Rob is proposing is this, that before even the oral arguments were heard, that a scenario like this could have taken place. Chief Justice Roberts goes to Anthony Kennedy, who is considered by most to be the swing vote on this issue, and says, look, I will allow you to have your 5-4 decision, or you can opt for this, a 6-3 decision, which would be a stronger decision. And Roberts basically saying, I will vote against traditional marriage. In other words, I will vote for same-sex marriage and give it a 6-3 victory. But by doing that, Roberts would have the right to either assign who would write the majority opinion, or he himself would write the opinion. But it's Rob's feeling that because Roberts and everyone on the court knows that ultimately same-sex marriage is going to be legalized in America, that they would be fighting, he would be fighting, any of the conservatives on the court would be fighting a losing battle. Ultimately, it's going to go this way anyway, so Roberts would opt to vote with the other side, but on this basis, that it is sex discrimination for a man to be told he must only marry a woman to be told she must only marry a man. And so rather than merely legalizing same-sex marriage and denigrating traditional marriage, they will deal with the issue, Rob suggests, on the basis of sex discrimination, that if you do not allow states to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples, it is a form of sexual discrimination. So Roberts, according to Rob's proposal, would vote with the other side, but he would do so because it would give him the opportunity to write the majority opinion. And in that writing of the opinion, he would include strong language, very strong language, that would protect religious freedom and religious liberty. And by that, Rob means, and by that I mean this, he would say in the opinion, yes, we are basically saying you can't discriminate sexually. You can't say a man can't marry a man, a woman can't marry a woman. However, if you hold sincerely held religious beliefs, that is, if you're a pastor, the president of a Christian college, you're the CEO of a business that is predominantly a Christian business like Hobby Lobby, etc., you can continue to hold your sincerely held beliefs. If those beliefs are contrary or opposed to same-sex marriage, you can continue to hold those beliefs and not be forced to surrender those beliefs and give up those beliefs, i.e., if you're a pastor, you cannot be forced to marry a same-sex couple. You cannot, as a pastor or a church, be forced to hire a same-sex couple. If you're a Christian college president, you cannot be forced to endorse same-sex marriage because your religious beliefs prohibit you from doing so. So, in other words, what Rob is suggesting is that through the back door, John Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts, could end up being the greatest friend of faith by approaching it a unique way. And gentlemen, that is indeed a very intriguing scenario, but I believe, Sam, as you've said, a very realistic one.
thing of it is, you know, we just really need to pray for wisdom on behalf of the Supreme Court, and we need to be praying for the Christian public. Sam, one of the things that really stuck in my mind when we had Jeff Mateer on yesterday is that he said that when he was there, you know, to hear the court's discussion on this, he was outnumbered 100-1. In other words, of course, he was there to stand up for, you know, traditional biblical marriage, but he was outnumbered 100-1 in that courtroom, in those chambers, by those who wanted to see, you know, the court come down and say, well, same-sex marriage is okay. That has been running through my mind ever since Jeff brought it out yesterday. And, you know, not only do we need to pray that our Supreme Court has the wisdom of God to make the right decision biblically and constitutionally, but we really just need to pray that God's people stand up and speak out and maintain biblical truth on these issues, don't we?
Well, we absolutely do, and of course, that's what we're trying to do here. That's what we're trying to encourage pastors to do from the pulpit. That's what constitutional attorneys are trying to do wherever they have an opportunity to speak. Because at the end of the day, this is a moral issue. There is a concern, you know, that God looks down at this country and says, "All right, if you take and put into your law and you recognize that which I have clearly said is one way, one man, one woman from the beginning, and you're going to put into law and try to contravene my law, all right, there's a penalty for that. God, there's an issue for our country if that happens." So God looks on the moral perspective. But then on the constitutional perspective, those of us who know what a constitutional republic is, there is a matter of relative to the Constitution and the role of the federal government and the courts, what can they do? So there are two major issues. Both of those, I believe, gentlemen, are items that we have not been teaching in our schools. We have not been preaching from our pulpits. We have not been, even frankly, most of those who are in office and take their oath don't understand these fundamental underpinnings. So it is very critical. So for those who do know, we've got to be speaking out and educating all the way along the line, because we are going to give it up and we'll never get it back if we do not at this point in time use this to teach. This is a teaching time.
Dave, we probably have thousands of pastors and thousands of Christians listening to this program today across the network. And my question to you is, where in the world have we allowed this to slip, that we haven't been doing the preaching and the teaching that we should have been doing? The second question I ask you is, do you think that this may be the number one crucial issue that this nation has ever faced in our existence? And number three, what can we do to get pastors to stand up and speak out and to lead their congregants to do the same?
Well, Gary, let me start in reverse order. What can we do? If pastors are not awakened by this, I'm not sure what will awaken us. And if we don't speak up now, I'm not sure when we will. But this is a crossroads in America. There's a lot more I'd like to say, but let me come to your second question. And that is, you know, what in the world has happened? Why have we not spoken up? Gary, I think there has been, you know, a degree of teaching out there over the last number of years that has basically taught Christians and certainly taught to pastors that you don't get involved in this arena called quote unquote politics. I don't even like calling it politics. I like calling it civil government. And civil government is God's institution. And so we have not just a right, we have an obligation to be involved. We have a right and an obligation, a divine obligation, to bring God's truth to bear on one of God's institutions. And so to abandon the arena, it's going to become what it has become, and that is dark, if there is not the light of God's truth and the light of God's word brought to it. So we have an obligation to counteract that incorrect teaching. And then I think the other thing, Gary, the reason people have not gotten involved is because I think they throw their hands up and say, you know what, what's the use? You know, it's a corrupt arena. And, you know, what I do and what I say doesn't make any difference. And that's not true. It makes a huge difference. And the biggest difference we can make right now is our prayers. Gary, all the way up until the day this thing is announced, these justices can change their vote. So we need to bombard heaven with our sincere and earnest appeals that, God, would you change the hearts of some of these justices to where any of these scenarios we discussed yesterday with Jeff Mateer or that we discussed today don't even have to become a reality. Lord, turn the hearts of these people and grant a victory for God's definition of marriage.
Pastors, take that word at heart. Lead your congregation to pray. Preach on the subject. Those of you who are not pastors, pray, pray, pray that God will bring our Supreme Court justices in line with biblical truth. We will be back with more of Stand in the Gap today, right after this, so don't go away.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. A man shot and killed by law enforcement in Boston was spreading Islamic State terrorist propaganda online, says House Homeland Security Committee Chairman Mike McCall.
This is kind of the new concern wave of terror that we're trying to deal with. It's very hard to stop because there are so many Americans following these Twitter accounts.
Usama Rahim was under surveillance, suspected of planning to behead a police officer. He's said to have lunged with a knife at members of a joint terrorism task force trying to question him. Another man was arrested later. David Wright is due in court this afternoon. Wanted fugitives in a soccer scandal.
Two former executives at soccer's governing body and four men with links to it added to Interpol's most wanted list. They're among 14 men facing U.S. corruption charges. FIFA's president, Sepp Blatter, announced his resignation yesterday.
Fox News Radio's Simon Owen. Fox News, we report. You decide.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The Dutch hoped there existed a water route across America to the Pacific, and they sent Henry Hudson to find it. Although he was unsuccessful, he did lay claim to the land along the Hudson River, so named for him. There, the Dutch West India Company founded the colony of New Netherlands, receiving their charter this day, June 3, 1621. The Dutch leader, called the Staten General, after which Staten Island was named, gave the regulation, "Colonists shall, by their Christian life and conduct, lead Indians to the knowledge of God and His Word, without, however, persecuting anyone because of his faith."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today with Dave Kistler, Sam Rohr, and yours truly, Gary Dull. We are delighted to have you there. One of the things that we talk about from time to time on the program, and things that obviously you folks observe, is how there seems to be an openness to Islam in this country, in this world. The Pope himself at times has even come out and made positive statements with regard to Islam. And we want to talk about that in a little bit. But before we get into that, we have a clip that we want to play for you on the program today. concerning Muslim refugee replacement in the United States of America. This comes to us from the Center for Security Policy. The lady who is talking is a lady by the name of Anne Corcoran. I'm not sure that I'm pronouncing that name properly, but we want you to listen to this, and then we will be commenting on this as well as some of the things that the Pope has said about this religion. And when we come back, it's a four-minute clip, so just take some time to listen to it at this point. It's coming.
It's been over 7 years since a church group from another state brought a couple hundred refugees to the rural county where I live. I wanted to know, how could they do this? What was the governmental process that allowed the resettlement of refugees to a county ill-prepared to assimilate them? Employment opportunities were scarce. The health department was not familiar with illnesses and mental health problems of people who came from parts of the third world. The school system was not prepared to teach large numbers of students who didn't speak English, and subsidized housing was scarce. I wanted to know who gave permission for what amounted to a dropping off of needy people in our county seat. So I began my research and posted everything I learned to a blog, Refugee Resettlement Watch, so that others might know what I learned about a federal program that is 35 years old this year. In summary, I discovered that the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees was choosing most of our refugees. It's under the influence of a powerful Muslim supremacist group called the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. Not surprisingly, a large number of U.S.-bound refugees are coming from countries with large numbers of people who hate us, including Somalia, Afghanistan, Iraq, and soon from Syria, just to name a few. The U.S. State Department then distributes the refugees to nine major federal contractors, six of which are so-called religious charities, but all are largely funded from the U.S. Treasury. They're not passing the plate on Sundays for the $1 billion price tag for the resettlement. And that figure does not include the extensive welfare benefits refugees receive. The refugees are then sent to over 190 cities and towns in the U.S. where the nine major contractors support 350 subcontractors. The refugees receive help from the subcontractor for up to 6 months, and the subcontractor then submits paperwork to admit the relatives of the first group. As the years have passed, I've become increasingly alarmed by the percentage of problematic Muslim refugees admitted and distributed around the U.S. through this program. By the way, the Refugee Resettlement Program is not the only one used for legally admitting Muslims, but it is one of the most important. Many are forming cities within cities. Perhaps you know one where you live, where mosques are being built to consolidate, train, and promote a growing American Muslim population and its Islamic supremacist doctrine called Sharia. This process of Muslim colonization is called the Hijra. Muhammad told his followers to migrate and spread Islam in order to dominate all the lands of the world. He said they were obliged to do so, and that's exactly what they are doing now with the help and support of the UN, the U.S. State Department, and the Christian and Jewish groups assigned to seed them throughout the country. Your tax dollars pay for it all. I've written this little book, Refugee Resettlement and the Hijra to America, so that you will know what is happening to us and what we can do about it. We only need to look to a troubled Europe to see the path ahead for America if we can't stop this migration and stop it soon. There's no reason on earth that we should have brought over 100,000 Somalis and another 100,000 Iraqi Muslims to America. Soon we will be resettling Syrian Muslims in large numbers. The UN at the moment has over 10,000 in a pipeline destined for our towns. The FBI told Congress recently that they cannot be properly screened. If you don't help counter the Hijra, we are, in my opinion, doomed. Over time, this migration will be more devastating to your children and grandchildren and to our country than any terrorist attack could ever be. Learn more at Refugee Resettlement Watch and SecureFreedom.org.
Well, Sam, Dave, you know, this is a pretty serious situation. And, Sam, I want to go to you. You know, we've just talked about how the idea of same-sex marriage could bring a ruination upon this nation. And, of course, now we've got a situation where, and this has been taking place for quite some time, where there's this Muslim refugee replacement to put Muslims across this nation and to build cities within the cities. We've got that situation. We've got the Catholic Pope who seems to be very open to Islam. And, of course, you have an article. You've got some information to share on that. we are really in serious conditions, in a serious situation here in America today as it relates to the spread of Islam and the openness that some so-called Christian religions seemingly are having toward it. Your thoughts, Sam?
Gary, we do, and that's the reason that I know we played this piece here today, because it's something we've talked about here before. We talked in a previous program about a large resettlement taking place in Tennessee and some of the cities down there, and as a part of the program. And we know some of the pastors that are down in Tennessee who are speaking out because they're seeing what's happening there. But again, Gary and Dave, again, those who are in positions of leadership in our government, if they do not hold to and understand the underpinnings, the biblical moral underpinnings, a biblical worldview perspective that makes us who and what we are, if that is jettisoned and we take and we put aside the control of the Constitution, then these kinds of things become they happen. And unfortunately, as she's talked about here, there are hundreds of thousands. Now, in a practical sense, Gary, what that does is build cities within cities. It alters voting blocks. It has the potential to alter the votes of particular states. It has everything to do with building a dependent class, rewarding or mixing up and diluting the very essence of what makes up this nation, and that is historically a people who understand the rule of law, have a common view towards who God is, and you take and you mix that up, you ultimately dilute that, and you will have, as she says, what is happening in Europe, which right now they're in desperate straits because in just a few years they're saying that Europe is going to be outvoted by the Muslim transplants, the same kind of thing that's happening here. So, Gary, it is of great critical interest.
And, you know, what about some of the things that the Pope is saying with regard to this, Brother Sam?
Well, in addition to that, I mean, the Pope, I have an article here that came from an individual. His name is Juan Torres, but talks about the infiltration of Marxist and Marxist socialism into the Vatican, and how the Pope himself has been invited over, has been spending a lot of time with the Castro brothers, and the public knows that the Pope had been in multiple conversations for a long time prior to President Obama softening relations with Cuba. The individual's Peruvian Reverend Gustavo Gutierrez was at the Vatican. He is the father of the liberation theology movement, and a former general of Russia made it very clear that liberation theology was a product of the KGB back in the 1960s and was a tool of Marxism, godless atheism, to infiltrate religion with the goal of dropping and diluting the strength of historic Christianity around the world. And the Pope has been entertaining these individuals, all kind of looking towards the New World Order. And you look at that and you say, is that possible? Unfortunately, it is possible. And that's when you set aside biblical truth, Gary and Dave, you set aside the basic understanding of freedom. You set aside really all that we have. And that's why we've got to have our eyes open to what's taking place. But these things are coming together. Islamic thought, liberation theology thought, this concept of a one world religion thought that sets aside national sovereignty, these kinds of things are all working together. That's what this article says. I think he's right on. And that's what this the person who we just listened to right now was commenting about as well.
You know, Dave, for many years, we've been talking about what the one world religion might be, who it might be, who will be at the center of it. And when you see this idea of Catholicism and Islam becoming predominant and becoming what more acceptable throughout this nation and around the world, it could be that we are really seeing the foundation for this one world religion not only being laid, but being developed and growing even as we speak. And when we come back from our break, Dave, I'd like for you to address that for just a few moments, if you would. because we as Christians need to be understanding what's going on and how the devil is working to build a false religion that will be a part of the last days here on earth. So, Dave, if you could talk about that when we come back, I'd appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll want to stay tuned to hear what Dave has to say about this subject.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our 3-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell of the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church. In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500 or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Janus Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
A wise and frugal government which shall restrain men from injuring one another shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government, taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4, 1801.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. It seems that just about every day now, there's another story in the news that gives evidence that there are greater challenges happening to our religious liberty all across America. One example, an enlisted Marine corporal was court-martialed for displaying a Bible verse on her desktop computer, something she was told by her superiors is an affront to, quote, good order and discipline. Unbelievable. Another example is the case of Atlanta Fire Chief Kelvin Cochran, fired from his post for writing a men's Bible study book that a member of city council took offense to. Chief Cochran will be speaking in Lancaster this Thursday night at Lancaster Bible College, and if you're interested in hearing his compelling story, give Dan a call at our office at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family, preserve the future. You can follow Michael Gear online at Twitter and Facebook or stay up to date on our website at pafamily.org.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, your Recorder of Deeds here in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote by Sidney Sheldon. My heroes are those who risk their lives every day to protect our world and to make it a better place. Police, firefighters, and members of our armed forces. God bless America.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The Resource Library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And before we went into the break, we were talking about the growth of the one world religion as we draw closer and closer to end times. And I want to try to further explain something here and then give it off to Dave Kistler to address it. For many, many years, those who were strong evangelical Christians felt as though the Catholic religion might be the basis for the one world religion. Of course, over the last number of years, it seems as though that there's been an openness within Catholicism and within Protestantism to bring together Catholics and Protestants together on very, very liberal policies and very, very liberal issues. And some people believe that there's an effort out there right now to reverse the Protestant Reformation. And then, of course, now we begin to see the growth of Islam and some of the positive statements that the Pope has made, or some of the gestures that he's given towards Islam, that almost appears as though Islam is coming in on this as well. And so, Dave, as we draw closer and closer to the return of Christ and, the Great Tribulation period, it seems like there's a coming together of Protestantism, Catholicism, and Islam to create this one world religion that will stand against the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your thoughts on that?
Well, Gary, I have been convinced for about 8 years that Islam is going to play a vital role in this one world religion that will be formed in the end time. And the reason I say that is varied in many reasons for it. But let me say this. It's a one world religion. So there's going to be components of Protestantism. There's going to be components of Catholicism that all merge together. But I believe it's going to be dominated by this Islamic component. Let me explain why I say that. If you look at the book of Galatians, chapter number 4, Paul mentions that Abraham had two sons. These two sons, Isaac and Ishmael, were more than just two sons. Paul makes the point that they represented two approaches to God, one by faith, the other by works. And it was through the son of promise, through Isaac, that Jesus the Messiah came. It makes perfect sense to me that through Ishmael, the other son, the father of the Arab people, will come the Antichrist, the antithesis of who Jesus was, and that will be the Antichrist. And so I believe there's this heavy Islamic component. But if you go to the book of Daniel, chapter number 11, and you begin reading at verse number 36, which says this, referring to the Antichrist, and the king, referring to the Antichrist, the end time Antichrist, shall do according to his will. Many people call him in Bible circles and theological circles the willful king. And he shall exalt himself. In other words, Antichrist is going to be an incredibly narcissistic individual and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. In other words, the Antichrist is going to direct the content of his message against the true and living God. He goes on and says, and he, the Antichrist, shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he, the Antichrist, regard the God of his fathers, that is, the God of his ancient ancestors, he'll have no regard for, nor the desire of women. Now, some have supposed that means the desire for women. In other words, Antichrist would be a homosexual. I don't believe that's exactly what that's saying. It says he won't regard the desire of women. That is, he will run roughshod, I believe it's saying, over the tender familial desires of women. The next verse says, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, the God of brutality, and a God whom his fathers, his ancestors knew not, shall he honor with gold and silver, etc., etc. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, an alien God, a different kind of deity. Then it talks about him also dividing the land for gain. Gary, if you put the components of Islam into that, this running roughshod over the desires of women, this brutality, this coercion, this forced submission, which is what the word Islam means, submission. If you put all that together, you see what I believe the Bible is predicting is a strong Islamic component to this one world religion. And Gary, I'm going to go ahead and say this, and then I'll turn it back to you. This is the 64,000-pound elephant in the middle of the room, okay? We have seen a merging of liberation theology and a lifting up and elevating of Islam, a denigration of Christianity. We've seen all of these components come together in rapid-fire succession in the last 6.5 years. It's almost like our current president is the one who has been the magnet around which all of this stuff is focused. And I am by no means saying he's the Antichrist, but I am saying this. I believe our president has done more to advance an Antichrist agenda than anyone before him.
Now, Sam, I know you have about 3 hours of information to give on that, and you've got about 3 minutes to give it. Let's hear from you, sir.
Gary, I will just summarize by saying I think what Dave said is a very, very needed perspective in this time. I think when many people are trying to factor and put together some of what's here. Yeah, I have felt for many times as we look, for instance, at this and our president, I have felt for many, many years, and I've said publicly that at the end of the day, we know that God, since the Word of God says He raises up those in authority, He puts down, He raises up nation, He puts them down. That at the end of the day, when all's said and done, that this president will go down, perhaps in the history books, as being the individual that has done more to align the nations for God's, for Christ's return than anybody else. And I think it ties in with what Dave's saying, because truly, in the last 6 years, the alignment of nations precipitated out of policies out of this White House have changed and altered the lay of the land relative to Israel and the nations of the world relative to Israel and our standing within the world and the rising prominence of Russia and China. And Iran, all of these things are happening under this watch. Things are, in fact, quick. We must not separate these things. These are all part of the biblical narrative. And I think that we're seeing a lot of these things come together before our very eyes.
Well, we are. And again, you know, it just goes back to the idea that as Christians, we must proclaim the truth. As we draw closer and closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, there's going to be a falling away. There is going to be those who are going to be going into apostasy. There will be those, of course, who, you know, will have itching ears and want to hear things that are not according to the truth. And I've heard people say, well, you know, this is going to happen. Let's just sit back and watch it happen. I mean, we know these things are coming to pass. What can we do about it? Well, we can do everything. We have everything in the world we can do about it. We can proclaim the truth of the Word of God, because when the truth of the Word of God is proclaimed, souls will come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in reality, ladies and gentlemen, we don't know when the rapture is going to take place. We don't know when the Lord's coming again. It could be today. It might be for another generation or two. We see these lineups taking place and so forth and so on across the nation and around the world. But we are also to occupy till Christ comes. We are to be, as 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, fully occupied, abounding in the work of the Lord. If there's ever a time for the Christian church to stand up and speak out about truth, it's today, as we see folks falling further and further away from the truth and becoming more and more yielding to Antichrist doctrine and Antichrist living. Well, we want to thank you very, very much for being with us today on Stand in the Gap today. You know, this program is for you to learn and us to teach, and I trust it will be a benefit in your life as time goes on. Until tomorrow, I say stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, for the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government, taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4, 1801.